our subject, I second the motion. What did I say? I second the motion. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Have come to you, dear God, because I really have nowhere else to go. I've come for help. I've come for power from above. As I kneel before you, as we bow in your presence, if there's something in me unlike you, with the detergent of the blood of Christ, remove it, that I might be a fit vessel to be used by you. Do the same for all those listening, Father, in this building and online. Dear God, I am dirt, made of dirt, and you've sent me to speak a divine message. Surely, Father, you see that I have a need for divine help. Give it to me generously. Let my mission, my aim, be your glory, a blessing to your people. Speak to us, Father, in this building and online. Bless our guests in a very special way, dear God. Bless Zimbabwe, every other country represented by those watching. Now, Father, possess me 100%. Use me, God. I offer no resistance. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Go with me to John 15. What's our subject? I second the motion. John 15, we'll read 26 and 27. Do you have John 15? 26 and 27. 27. When the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, next verse, because ye have been with me, finish the verse, from the beginning. Now, in verse 26, Jesus says, the Comforter will testify of him. In verse 27, Jesus says, the disciples will testify of him. The testimony given by the Holy Ghost in 26 and the testimony given by the disciples in 27 have to be the same. This introduces to us a tremendous reality that the Spirit of truth is willing to second our witness. In the Jewish system, legal system, no one could be killed unless there were two or three witnesses. Deuteronomy 17 verse 6, in the mouth of one witness or two witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death. But in the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. The legal system of the Jews required at least two witnesses for someone to be executed. And in verse 27 he says, you will testify of me. The testimonies have to be the same. So that when the disciples went preaching and speaking about Christ, the Holy Ghost could say, I second that motion. Are you with me? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll read verse 16. Romans 8, verse 16. Our subject, I second the motion. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Here again we have two witnesses, the Spirit of God and humankind, or God's children. The Spirit itself witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So when you say, or I say, I am a Christian, there must be a voice from above that says what? I second the motion. I agree. Heaven agrees with my claim to be a Christian. Let us go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read verse 5 and verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 2, 5 and 10. Neither at any time use we flattering words, nor a what? Nor a what? Of covetousness. Finish that verse now. God is witness. The Apostle Paul says, we use no flattering words or cloak of covetousness. That's what Paul says. And then he had the boldness to say, the Spirit is a witness, or God. What Paul said? The Holy Spirit said from above, I second that motion. If heaven does not second the motion of our lives are fraudulent. Let's go to verse 10. The same Apostle Paul. Ye are witnesses, keep reading, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. Ye are witnesses and God also. God witness, the church witness, that Paul and his associates lived unblameably, justly, holy, behaved themselves with the church. Paul says that's how we live, and God is a witness. Heaven must say, I second that motion. Now, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 5. Acts 5, we'll read 30 to 32. Our subject, I second the motion. And by the way, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible, in case your version differs slightly from my wording. What book did I say? What chapter? What verses? Let me pray again. Father, as I continue to dispense power from above to this weak vessel, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hang on a tree. The tree means the cross. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Now, if you don't mind, read 32 with me. And we are what? His witnesses of these things. Keep reading. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. The writer, that's Peter speaking, he says, we are witness, and the Holy Ghost is a witness. Now, it's a very dangerous thing to accuse the Holy Ghost falsely. Because Jesus said, if you offend the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness. Peter says, what we're saying, the Holy Ghost is a witness. Let me say it again. If you and I claim our lives are godly lives, heaven must second that motion, or it's a lie. Genesis 4, reading from verse 1. God bless those of you taking notes. You are Bereans. Genesis 4, from verse 1. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Let's see what Paul has to say about this incident. Let us go to Hebrews 11. We read verse 4. Paul is commenting on this incident recorded in Genesis 4. Abel and Cain bringing offerings to God, God accepting one and rejecting the other. He accepted one comprehensively, he rejected the other comprehensively. Hebrews 11, verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more what? Excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained what? Witness that he was? Stop. Abel received a witness to his righteousness Who was that witness? Let's continue reading. What does it say? God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. God was a witness to the righteousness of Abel. So as Abel brought his offering to worship, God seconded that worship motion. Did not do it for Cain. When you and I worship, our worship is made up of jumping and shouting and sweating and running around and make a lot of noise. Does God second that? You answer it. God must second that worship. You're involved in a relationship. You always have to be alone behind a tree somewhere. Does God second that? He has to second it or it's illegitimate. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Let's go to verse 5 of Hebrews 11. Our subject, I second the motion. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, read with me now, he had what? A witness that he? Who provided that witness? God. In succession, we have two men, Abel and God, testified. God from above said, I second the worship motion. God from above said, I second the lifestyle of Enoch. God must second what we do on this earth, or it is wrong. It is illegitimate. It prepares no one for admission to the kingdom of God. Question for you. Am I being too hard on you? Are you sure? Would you like me to soften the message? Would you like a Mary had a little lamb message instead? All right. University students, college students are tough people. So I'm giving it to you right between the eyes. If you can't take it, you came to the wrong conference. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found. Why? Because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, and that testimony came from God himself. Let's go to Genesis 18. We read from verse 17. Our subject, I second the motion. Genesis 18, reading from verse 17. Let me set it up for you. God, well, Christ has come down in human form in Genesis 18, along with two angels. All three are in human form, and they pass by the tent of Abraham. Abraham invites them, washes their feet, gives them something to eat. Then they tell Abraham his wife would have a son. All right. Now in verse 17, Abraham does not know then that God has come down to take a look at Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. But there is a way God functions. Before God executes judgments on the earth, he discusses it with someone from the earth. Are you with me? So an earthly representative can examine the judgment of God. It is not necessary, but we serve a God who goes the extra mile. And so he came to talk to Abraham. Now, verse 17 of Genesis 18, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now read verse 19 for me carefully. What does that say? For I know him. Somebody say amen. Isn't it a beautiful thing when God says, I know him? But there are two ways God knows you. Does God know the devil? Yes or no? Yes. There are two ways God knows you. He knows you on the good side, or he knows you on the bad side. And so the Bible says, God said, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. I know him. God was a witness to the upright life of Abraham. You're pursuing various branches of study. And if someone were to ask you, do you know your physics? You'd probably say yes. But your professor has to be a witness to your claim. And so he gives you an exam, the results of which will enable him to witness for you or witness against you. Now, having said that, witness against you, let's go earlier in Genesis 18. We'll read from verse 11. God has told Abraham in verse 10 that his wife would have a son. Verse 11. Now, Sarah and Abraham were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I'm waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I'm old? Verse 14, God asked Abraham a question. And the Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life. And Sarah, finished the verse, shall have what? A son. Now, verse 15, read for me. What does that say? Then Sarah denied, saying what? I laugh not. For she was afraid. Finish the verse. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. Now, Sarah said, I didn't laugh. There was no second of that motion. God testified against Sarah. God said, no, you're lying, you laughed. You laughed. You're saying you didn't laugh, I say you laughed. Now, you may say, and I may say, I'm a Christian. And God says, no. That's what you say. You're not. You're a well-dressed hypocrite. You may say, I am thus or the next. And God may say, no, you're not. God witnesses for us or against us. Whether he does it for us or against us is up to us. You're looking at me as if you're saying, explain that. Let God explain it. Go back to Genesis 4. I just said, whether God witnesses for or against is up to us. Go to Genesis chapter 4. We'll pick up the story of Cain and Abel bringing offerings. Verse 4, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God is saying, look, if you know what's right, I'll witness in your favor. As verily as I witness in the favor of Abel, why? He did what I wanted. He brought an animal. You brought fruits. And fruits don't bleed. I need blood to symbolize the life of my son. And so God said, I am eager and willing and waiting and wanting to testify on your behalf. But you've got to do what's right. Let's go even higher. We'll stay at the human level, yet we'll go a little higher. Let's go to Matthew 3. Christ has just been baptized by his cousin John. John the Baptist was the cousin of Christ. He was older than Christ, but not older than Jesus by 6 months. The word Christ is not the name of Jesus. It has stuck to him. His name is really Jesus. That's what the angel said. Christ is the office. But over centuries, he became known as, but not just centuries, in the times of the Bible, the office was connected to the person, and so Christ comes across as his name. But his name is really Jesus. It should be Jesus the Christ, like John the Baptist, not John Baptist. John the Baptist, it should be Jesus the Christ, but it's called Jesus Christ, fine. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. Verse 16, Matthew 3. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, what? This, come on, verse 17, Matthew 3. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, what? This is my beloved Son, come on, in whom I am well pleased. God looked down and seconded the motion of the life of Jesus Christ. If Christ had disobeyed his Father, the Father would not have said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. But since Christ was human, as much as you and I are human, as much as God said to Christ, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, God is eager and waiting to say to us, this is my beloved daughter in whom I am well pleased. Because in his humanity, the standard for Christ was the standard for us. I said in his humanity, and that standard was obedience to the Lord. So the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This testimony was consistent. Why do I say that? Go to Matthew 17. This is the chapter that records the transfiguration. Matthew 17. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Here again, we have the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father testify, the Father seconded the motion of the life of Jesus Christ. My young brothers and sisters, has God seconded the motion of your life? Do your teachers second the motion of your claim to academic excellence? Do your friends second the motion of your claim to be faithful and reliable? Do your parents second the motion of your claim to be a good child? Does the government second our motion, our claim to be good citizens? Ultimately, the second that is most important is the second that comes from above. Let's go to Revelation 3. We read verse 5. Revelation 3, reading verse 5. This is the message of Christ to the church of Sardis. This is church number 5 in a list of 7. Who can give me all 7 churches to which Christ wrote letters in Revelation chapters 2 and 3? All 7 churches in order. I'm speaking to a Seventh-day Adventist audience. Give me them. I'm listening. Louder. I heard Ephesus. We want God to second the motion. Are you with me? Of our knowledge of the scriptures. The first church is Ephesus. What's the second church? Smyrna, third church. Yes, fourth church. Thyatira, fifth. The one we are with now, Sardis, sixth. Philadelphia, and the last one, which describes the last day church. Revelation 3, by the way, do you think God seconded the motion of our Bible knowledge? I'll let you answer that for yourself. Revelation 3, verse 5, what does the Bible say? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed with white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Finish the verse. But I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Christ will speak for us in the great judgments going on now, which we call the investigative judgment. Jesus stands to speak for us or against us. If Christ speaks for you, it matters little what earthly people say. If he speaks against us, it matters little how much earthly people speak for us. My brothers and sisters, in the judgment, Christ will say to some people, I never knew you. Depart from me. That's a witness against. Let's go to Matthew 25. We read 34 and 41. This is the parable of the sheep and the goats. separated by the shepherd. Verse 34 of Matthew 25. Our subject, I second the motion. Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, what? Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is Christ speaking for. Now, go to verse 41. Read with me, what does that say? Then shall he say also to them on his left hand, what? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, come on, prepared for the devil and his angels. We have two statements from the same person. In 34, Christ speaks for a group, and they're blessed by the Father. In 41, Christ speaks against a group, and they're cursed by the Father. The gospel is not simply hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Listen to the most popular verse in the Bible and you'll see life and death. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, come on, should not. That's death. That's punishment. That's hellfire. That's condemnation. That's the curse of God. Should not perish, finish the verse, but have everlasting life. That's eternal life. That's the new world. A life with God, walking with angels, looking into the face of God, going to other worlds where people live who've never sinned, traversing the universe. We have both. On one side, Jesus seconds the motion and the Father says, blessed. On the other side, Jesus witnesses against and the Father curses. Go to John 15. We read from verse 1. Our subject, I second the motion. Then I'll tell you something about God, which should put a smile on your faces. Right now you look so depressed. Do you have, what book did I say? John, what chapter? 15. We read from verse 1. Father in heaven, as I continue, and I'm now sliding down to the conclusion, be with me continually, Father, I pray. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. We have Jesus and the Father. They have different functions. Jesus is the vine. The Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, read the next words, he taketh away. Not Jesus. He, the Father. When some people leave the church, it could very well be the Father removing a useless branch. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He cannot witness for it. Christ witnesses against it, and the Father removes it. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In verse 2, we have for and against. And we have two people, the Son and the Father. For or against. You cannot have the Father for you and the Son against you, or the Son for you and the Father against you. They work in unison. When Jesus says fine, the Father says fine. We saw that in Matthew 25, 34, 41. In 34, come ye blessed of my Father. Jesus says, come, my Father's blessed you. In 34, depart from me, ye cursed. Now, here's some good news about God. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. We read verse 9. Our subject, I second the motion. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Then I'll make a call. It's a strange call. It'll take courage to respond. You decide if you have that courage. You have 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You have a strange way of just looking at me and not answering me. I accept that as your habitual practice, and so I won't fuss. 2 Peter 3, verse 9, what does that say? God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Read with me. But is long-suffering to usward. Let's put the Harari interpretation. But is long-suffering to those in this conference. Not willing. Come on, keep reading. That any should perish. Stop. The gentleman who opened the service, I don't know where he went to. Was it you or somebody else? He said, turn to your neighbor and say something of the other. Now just look at the person, but don't say anything. Don't bother them. Just look at them. God does not want that person lost. So while I have been scaring you to death with God witnessing against you or for you, you need to understand we serve a God who prefers to do what? Witness for you. In other words, God is already leaning in your favor. Give him the smallest cause to speak for you. He's already leaning on your side. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's read verse 4. Another nice statement about God. God is a nice person. Every person lost would have rejected salvation. It would be their choice. God doesn't choose to destroy people. People choose it, and then God has to give it to them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He wants all people saved. He wants those worshiping based on error to come to the knowledge of the truth. Go to Ezekiel chapter 33. Let's read verse 11. Ezekiel 33, verse 11, we're looking at God. He's not a frightening person, as some of us tend to think. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. Finish the verse. For why will he die? Why, says God, are you so stubborn, so hard-headed in following the path of self-destruction, however glamorous it may look? Why? Almost as if God is puzzled, why will he die? There's no need for that, says God. Come to me. Let me speak for you, says your Savior. And if I speak for you, the Father will second the motion. And if the Father seconds the motion, the Holy Ghost will third it. And the angels will fourth it. Are you following me? All of heaven will be on your side when Jesus says, I second the motion. When Jesus says, I witness against you, the Father says, I'm against him. The Holy Ghost says, I'm against him. The angels say, we're against him. All the unfallen worlds are against him. As much as all the universe is for you, when God speaks for you, the universe is against you when God speaks against you. But God prefers to speak for you. I've talked enough. I want someone to leave this place assured of his or her salvation. Here's my call. Let me pray first. Father, if I said anything that was too harsh, forgive me. Please. If I misrepresented you, forgive me. With that forgiveness, Father, help me to use the right words as I speak to your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Usually, before a preacher makes an appeal, he asks the congregation to stand. You see, it's easier to move when you're already standing. Are you following me? But I'm not asking you to stand. I want you to make an effort. Review your life for the past 6 months. Right now. Look back over your past 6 months. Is that life drawing a witness from heaven for you or one against you? Listen to me again. Review your life for the past 6 months. based on your summary, is God witnessing for you or against you? If you believe, based on your honest review of the 6 months just passed, that God might be speaking against you because of your behavior, and you want to make that change now, now you come. If you believe, based on your quick, honest review of the past 6 months of your life, that the tendency of your life may be to have God witness against you, come. 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 I'm honest. As I look at my life the past 6 months, I don't see how God could witness in my favor. Come. Don't look around to see who's coming. You come. I cannot say, based on my past 6 months, how God can speak for me. And I want that change, and I can change it. Come. I've reviewed my life the past 6 months, and in all painful honesty, I do not see how God can speak for me. I want that changed. Come. The rest of you should be praying. The devil doesn't like this. Come. Let's sing softly that first stanza. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. If there's no room up front, just stand where you are. Will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. Anyone else? Surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus. Anybody else? Savior, I surrender all. Just hold the music. The fact that you reviewed your 6 months and you believe God cannot speak for you does not mean that you're doing the worst things on the face of the earth. It may be you have had no time for God's word. And because the word is Christ, someone who has no time for the word, you can almost finish my thought, has no time for Christ. Regardless of the claims you make, a person with no time for the word of God effectively has no time for God. And that is enough to have God unable to witness for you. Because everything God does, He does through the word. Creation, maintaining, raising the dead, healing the sick, creating out demons, the word. And so to avoid the word is to avoid the power of God in its totality. That may be all that distinguishes the past 6 months of your life. Doesn't mean you're a murderer, you're an adulterer, or you run a whorehouse. Not necessary. No. You have no time for this. Anybody else? Then I pray. Let me tell you something about death. Death does not respect age. People die at all ages. This is not a trick to make you afraid. Will people die tonight, yes or no? Of all ages. Make sure when your eyes are closed tonight, you have placed yourself in a position where Christ can function and the Father can support him. You are the one to make sure of that. Not Jesus, you. And so for the next 30 seconds, I extend a call. Who else will say, based on the review of the past 6 months of my life, I cannot see how Christ can speak for me. I want that changed. And I can change it. with a simple choice. Stand up, 30 seconds.
All to Jesus surrender. Freely.
20 seconds.
Love and trust him.
15 seconds.
His presence daily.
10 seconds. Five.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Which of you? For the past months, maybe years, you have been considering baptism. You've not yet made the decision. You'd like to make it right now. A decision to be baptized, not because I'm asking you, but because that is what Christ wants. And it is God's chosen sacrament for entrance into the body of Christ. If anyone will make a decision now to be baptized, raise your hand, let me see. Anyone, you make that decision right now. Let me see your hand. Raise your hand. Anyone, raise it high so I can see it. I will make the necessary arrangements. God bless you. We need that name. I see a hand way back there. Can you work your way up to the front, please? Come up to the front. Would you come? Come. Now, I want you separate from the rest, so I want you right up front. I'm making a call. You feel the urge, you have felt it, to make a decision to be baptized, not necessarily today or next week, but you make a decision. That's what I'm calling for. Come now. Come right up front. Come right up front. So I know you're separate from the larger group. Someone else come. A decision. That's what I'm calling for. The Holy Ghost will tell you when, as you consult with the leaders. Someone else come. Now, there may be someone who needs to be rebaptized. In the book of Acts chapter 19, Paul met 12 disciples who had been baptized. They had never heard of the Holy Ghost. Paul taught them. They were all rebaptized. Evangelism, page 375, paragraph 2. When a soul is truly reconverted, let that soul be rebaptized. Something may have happened to you, and you want to start with God all over again, and this time get it right. Make that decision, come. Decision for baptism or rebaptism, come. I won't delay much longer. I have 5 minutes left on my allotment of time. Baptism, rebaptism, come. And surely, when you make that decision, heaven will say, I second that motion. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and angels will second that motion. Give you 30 seconds, then I close this entire service. Decision to be baptized, rebaptized, come. 30 seconds beginning now. Mm-hmm. 25 seconds. Mm-hmm. 20. Mm-hmm. 15.
In his presence daily live.
10 seconds. Five. When this verse is finished, I'll pray.
To thee,
the The Bible says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. That's God speaking. Satan says the same thing, but the reverse. Remember me in the days of thy youth. God wants you when you're young. The devil wants you when you're young. Now, which one will get you? Your choice. The devil knows if he gets you young, he can keep you. God knows if he gets you young, he can keep you. Which one will you allow to get you? It's your choice. Because Satan cannot force you and God will not force you. Anyone else will come to say, Father, I'm making a decision publicly to be baptized as publicly as you were crucified. Anyone else? If you're afraid, ask the person next to you to walk with you. Some young man, don't be tough. Come. Some young lady, come. Anyone else? In the days of thy youth, come. 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 In the days of thy youth, come. God bless you. Come. Say amen. Amen. Come. Anybody else? Anybody else? I know you have to go. There's lunch. But this is spiritual food. Come. Don't fight God. Put your hands down and come. You can't fight God and win. You can't fight Satan and win unless you fight him in God's power. And to do that, you must be on God's side. Is someone else coming? Let her through. Is someone else coming? Come. 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 Come, sister. Come. Put a smile on God's face. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Make that decision with all your heart and soul and mind and strength and might and understanding. Anyone else coming? Make that decision in the days of your youth. Let God smile and the devil frown. Anyone else? Anyone else? You don't complain when Manchester's playing Chelsea, it goes over time, you stay, you watch. Well, don't complain now. Come. God bless you, my good brother. God bless you. I mean that from my heart. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? For those of you who are very shy, and God likes public displays of commitment to him. But if you're shy, when the service is over, come to one of the leaders and say, I want to make that decision. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You may come while I'm praying. Father in heaven, I have done my human best. It's never enough. Father, add to it divine power to close this service. There's a young man struggling now. There's a young woman struggling now who needs to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, and because you know how terrible your judgment will be, move that person to come and make that decision. Father, the initial call was, after 6 month review of my life, I do not see how God can speak for me. I want that change. Now, Father, as we stand in your presence, those of us who upon reviewing our lives have concluded the tendency of our lives is not to have God speak for us. Let us make a decision right now to recommit the life to him in that instant. Father, we know you'll speak for that person. Now, God, as we leave this place, let us not descend into idle conversation. Let us think of what we've heard. Let us determine day by day to so live that every day heaven will say, I second that motion. Bless my young brothers and sisters. Bless their families that sacrificed to put them in college. Father, let them so live that their friends will see Christ and come to know him. Bless the rest of today's activities, dear God. I offer this prayer from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen. Stay where you are. Let me offer special prayer for those who came. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, some have answered a call for baptism or rebaptism. In the unfailing, powerful name of Jesus Christ, sustain them in this decision. Let no power on earth or anywhere else change their minds. And let their example, dear God, inspire some other young man or young woman to act similarly. Bless them with a measure of your spirit right now where they stand. I pray from my heart in Jesus' name. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.